This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إني ألقى الإناس في صومي وصلاتي ودعائي للرحمن وجميع الطاعات.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and dear friends. Welcome to this video where we're going to be clarifying some misconceptions out there about the 26 Qurans that we have apparently. Before I start, I want to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most just. All praises, glory and gratitude belong to Him for allowing us to bring these works to you, Brother Muhammad. Now to be honest, before you speak about the matter, I see this as a very, very, very desperate, like I feel like they're in such like desperate situation where they're thinking, you know what, and I don't mean to offend any Christians that are watching this, but unfortunately the scriptures of the Bible is not reliable. They're not preserved, they've been changed, they've been corrupted. Not only verses have been added and taken out, but books have been added and taken out. Now, we do not mean this in a way to insult our Christian friends and to belittle their scripture, but we have to speak the truth even if it's against ourselves. But with J. Smith and his group, it seems like it's a very desperate attempt in a way like, okay, our books are, like they say to us, they say, look, we know our books are corrupted. And we say, look, we admire you for your honesty. We admire you for that. Good for you, okay, we respect that. But the desperate attempt to say, you know what, we got this problem, now we're going to find the same problem with your scripture, is a childish little thing to do. And with this video, they have proved how childish and belittling it is that coming up and saying there's 26 Qurans, or there's this many Qurans. Why? Because, for example, the Quran came in different dialects, etc. You know, just because they say, for example, soccer in America, and then in the UK, we say footy or football. That means, okay, we have two different... For example, if the Bible came in those terms, does that mean we have two different Bible versions? But this, to me, like I said, is my opinion that I think is a very desperate attempt. Yeah. Like they say, desperate times bring desperate measures.
So what it is, I mean, brother, is that they know that our scriptures are preserved.
Yes.
They know we have a case to make for this. They know we have evidence to bring to prove this.
Very true.
We have chains, we have books, we have all transmissions, we have language.
Yes.
We have history, we have everything, right? It's unfortunate that they can't say the same or even try and make the same arguments for themselves. And the problem is that even their scholars are admitting to the fact.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Metzger writes in his book, which he actually entitles The Bible Restoration and Corruption.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about the corruption of the Bible, the change of the Bible. So it's clear that this is something within their tradition that they can't solve, so they try and make a problem.
Yeah, like you have that problem.
Yeah.
Why try to throw that on us?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like it's not the case. But is there anything else you want to add before we call the brother to clarify this?
No, let's bring him down straight away.
Yeah, so we're going to call the brother to come here and clarify, because this is a brother who has memorized. How many Quran?
He is basically an ustaz here, a teacher here at the Shalom Institute.
Yeah, and this is the very institute that we're in that
the
actually deal with, teach
they,
this.
They teach the 10 Qira'at, how to memorize the 10 Qira'at.
Yes.
What's
Qira'at, by the way, for our non-Muslim
views? Qira'at are the recitations.
Different styles.
It's kind of like accents. Yeah. So the Quran was revealed in a way which you can recite it in a kind of one accent, another accent, third accent.
Yes.
This is, by the way, what they're referring to when they're saying there's so many different versions of the Quran. So in this institute, what they do is actually memorize this with the different variations in accents and stuff like that. And they get what you would call at the end an ijazah. An ijazah is a certificate which shows that you have a provenance or a chain that links all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad. In other words, the Prophet taught someone who taught someone who taught someone
that comes all the way back to you,
and you have the certificate to show that. Which is, by the way, a noble thing for all Muslims to try and get.
So let's not waste no time and call the brother and let's take care of this. Okay, so since that we've done the introduction, let's get straight into it. So Brother Muhammad, point by point, let's just go through what the misconceptions are and these so-called 26 Qurans, and let's see if our brother, who's expert in the field, can answer those point by point, inshallah.
Alright, inshallah. So, obviously, he says, or the Orientalists are starting to say that there are different versions of the Qur'an, and they look at the Qira'at, the different Qira'at, and they give different examples of variants in the text and change in the meaning. So they'll say, for example, in the Quran, let's use the first example they use, Malik and Malik. So Malik obviously meaning the owner of the Day of Judgment, and Malik. What is this exactly? How would you explain this?
I mean, the first thing that we need to understand with regards to differences in meaning with terms of the Qur'an is that differences is a very conflated term. Differences like indicates that there are actually contradictions. In fact, any differences in meaning in terms of the Qur'an gives an increase and a richer variety of meanings with regards to a particular section.
So for did example, the Prophet say it like this and like that?
Absolutely.
And did Allah reveal it like this and like that?
Yes, absolutely.
So they both accepted.
Absolutely, 100%.
So it's not a matter of different versions of the Qur'an?
It's quite ridiculous really when you think about it. It's as if something new was discovered. Or the Qur'an have been a known and accepted science since the time of the Prophet wasallam, until modern day 21st century.
Yeah.
It's not something that's been, you know, Muslims have been trying to hide under the rug just in case people, Orientalists or non-Muslims try to attack us.
Yeah.
It's something that's very well known. It's studied all over the world by all different cultures and backgrounds. Yeah. All Muslims all over the world know this. And it's not something that's...
So let's go through some of these examples. So Malik Yawm al-Din is owner of the Day of Judgment. Malik Yawm al-Din's king of the Day of Judgment. There's a change in meaning there.
There's an absolute change in meaning. Yeah. It's a rich variety of meaning.
So there's
now
no contradiction.
Not at all. Yeah. If an owner owns something, then a king only increases the understanding of that ownership.
Yeah.
A king gives greater
meaning.
Absolute meaning.
So it's a greater meaning behind it.
Mm. What about this? He says in Surah Al, you know, if we go even further, they go as far as to say that there's 1,600 changes, all of which have a massive effect on the meaning. Go ahead.
Once again, it's quite almost childish to have to discuss this, but we mentioned it since we're here.
Mm.
There are as much differences, if you consider the Qura'at one different from the other, then you have to consider you aren't and you are not as different meanings. You are not and you aren't. Would you understand me completely differently if I used either of those?
It's just a contracted version.
It's just a different way of saying exactly the same thing.
So they say you aren't is one Quran, and if you say you are not, there's another Quran.
I find, it's quite astonishing really. The Qira'at, the science of the Qira'at, is one of the greatest evidences for the preservation of the Quran. And yet, by some twisted and perverted methodology, this is actually being used to attack the Quran. By people who can barely say their own names in Arabic.
It's like with atheism, you know. There was a saying where it said, if you have little knowledge of science, you become an atheist. When you have in-depth knowledge of science, you find God.
Yeah.
It's the same. When you don't understand how the preservation and the Quran, like how the system works, you start thinking, But once you have in-depth understanding, you learn this book is preserved.
How would you go about proving now? We talked about some of the variant readings, all of which are, you say, accepted, all of which the Prophet said it like this, and he said it like that. Allah said it like this, and he said it like that. Because they keep asking the question, so which one is in the preserved tablet? What's the answer to that question?
The preserved tablet is that of the unseen, and we will not be given access to that.
Yeah.
What is written is the Qur'an. Allah's speech... When Allah said the Qur'an, He said it in a manner which befits His own majesty and grace. When we said the Qur'an, it's a manner in which befits our own limitations and imperfections. So when we say something in an accent, Allah is high above that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Qur'an in the tablet, and He blessed us and honored us with speaking His own speech, with speaking the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple way to think about it. It's not something...
Even though it's a bit childish to even go through it, but can we just have a few more examples, just so people...
Okay, let's have some more. So in one qira'ah, you say, سَارِعَوْا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And the other one says, وَسَارِعَوْا. And race to the forgiveness of your Lord. Race to the forgiveness of your Lord.
Hasten.
Yeah.
And hasten.
Yeah.
Has now the whole theological Islamic base has been changing now?
Yeah.
It's quite ridiculous, really.
And both of them are... Did Allah say both of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Allah said both of them.
They have both been revealed by Allah.
Why would Allah say both of them like that?
Okay, imagine the following.
Yeah.
Imagine the government gives a book that every single citizen must study to a great depth, and must understand it and live by it.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine every time you have to read this book, you have to do it in the Queen's English. Mm-hmm. How tough would that be on... the lay people? How tough would that be on the accents from East London, Liverpool, Manchester,
someone
Scotland,
like me. Yeah.
Someone from Ireland, someone, and imagine all English speaking people. Yeah. It's going to be very, very hard and arduous upon them to, every time they read this very important book, to do it in the Queen's English.
Yeah. Mm.
Therefore, out of God's mercy, if you follow that metaphor, He allowed the Arabs at the time, the Arabs of the Prophet's age, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recite His words in a manner that's easy for them, in an accent which is natural for them, as opposed to going through the process, the difficult process of changing the way they speak just to understand God's words. He allowed them to recite exactly the same thing.
So they're just like, it's kind of like accents.
Absolutely. That's the simplest way to think about it.
And Allah has allowed the book to be read in different accents.
Exactly.
But it's the same book.
Absolutely.
And there's not different versions.
No different version.
So anyone comes and says there's different versions of the Quran.
That's a ridiculous claim.
Any Muslim has ever said that? Any scholar has ever said that?
It's as outlandish as it gets, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone who can be even considered an academic to say something ridiculous like that, it's embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. To be honest, we actually kind of, not forced, but had to encourage him to do it, because he was saying to us, like, brothers, you can do, like, you don't need me. I was like, you know, just for the people to understand, we had to bring the brother here with a bit of force so he can just clarify, you know, even here he's explaining it. It's a childish claim, but I'm just going to ask for two more points so then we can just...
Two more examples.
Two more.
Okay.
Then it's just clever.
So in Surah Al-Baqarah, they say in the 71st verse or something like that, it says, in one qira'ah, yukaffir ankum sayyatikum. In another qira'ah, nukaffir ankum
sayyatikum.
271st
verse,
yeah.
271st
verse. Go on. So,
what you ankum
min yeah.
And Allah forgives or expiates for some of your sins.
Yep.
When nukaffir, and we, the royal we, which Allah addresses Himself with, so many times
it's not Jesus Christ and the Trinity though. Yeah,
it's
not the Trinity.
I mean actually you mentioned this clip that this so-called academic misunderstood this we to mean something that's plural or something else. It is so A, B, C, D, Quranic.
And it's in the Bible as well, isn't it?
So for a Christian to even mention that royal we means a plural is something quite ridiculous, really, as we mentioned many times.
So another example, they're saying, you know, it says in one qira'ah, it says tabayyanu. Another one, it says tathabbatu.
If anything, that just increases your certainty and the miraculousness in the Quran.
So explain what these translate then first.
Tabayyan, clarify. Tathabbatu, an easy translation will also be clarified.
So it's the same meaning.
An easy way, like for an easy translation, simple translations would be exactly the same clarity.
So why is it different then?
Tathabbatu and tabayyanu in Arabic
increases
the meaning, in richness. It's in the manner in which you clarify. Tathabbatu is the way you make sure that the chain is valid. And tabayyanu is once it actually comes to you, you make sure that it's okay.
So we take both of those meanings and we add to each other.
Exactly.
And this is part of the textualized...
As we do with any differences, so-called, in the meaning of the Qur'an.
Yeah, you add them together.
In terms of the Qur'an, they join together to create a beautiful understanding at the end.
And they increase
to contradict
meaning.
Each other. Absolutely. And they increase yaqeen, certainty, that this is something that is miraculous, that's something that's
really
inhuman.
So what about ya'lamun? They say ya'lamun and ta'lamun. Ya'lamun, they know. Ta'lamun, you know.
This is something that happens throughout the Qur'an as well, with different
Qur'an.
Ta'lamun, they know. Ya'lamun. يعلمون, they know, تعلمون, you know. That's something that has no impact on any direct impact on
the conclusion.
Exactly.
So is there a contradiction? But if I say they will know and if you will know, is there a contradiction in that?
Absolutely no contradiction. I mean,
would you ever find a contradiction in these?
Never would you find anything contradictory in terms of the
reason. And is it? I mean,
and if anything, I personally challenge anyone to try to bring one qira'ah where meaning contradicts another meaning.
To be honest, I don't think we need to carry on any further. I think it's very clear. Is there anything else we're going to finish? Last thing?
No, I mean, I think that's basically their claim, isn't it? They claim that the qira'at, which are... I mean, the qira'at are named after these Quranic teachers.
Yes.
Yeah? And they're saying that these are different versions of the Qur'an, right? They take each of these Quranic teachers' names and they make it like a new version of the Quran.
That's just as ridiculous as saying a Quran school, Ahmed's Quran school, opened and became very famous. And I say, look, they have a new Quran because now it's Ahmed's Quran.
It's
ridiculous.
One last question that I think we should ask here is can we prove that the Quran has a multiplicity of different people that are narrating it in each level of the chain, and that those individuals are not just relying upon an oral transition, but they're relying upon something written?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you go back to authentic books of Qira'at and who they mention, like in Tabaqat al-Qura, for example,
Al-Muzadari,
at each level of narration, people by name are mentioned and their biographies are mentioned. This is such and such person who recited such and such person. His teachers were so and so. His students were so and so. To amazing depths.
Really?
Depths you wouldn't even understand.
Mm.
And these things are preserved. And it's as if it's like those people who make these claims are just woken up yesterday or something. These
so
have,
so
these
let's go through one quick chain. So you have Allah, he's revealing it to obviously
the Prophet
through the Jibreel. Then Prophet Muhammad, who does he say to?
The Qura amongst the companions, like Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Those were four of the most prominent Qura of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. But it's more than just those four, or is it just those four?
Those were the most prominent.
Yeah.
If you want to name names, then we'd name hundreds, if not thousands, of
Sahaba. But I think, like I said, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And
yeah.
I think our friends are in a desperate position for bringing such petty arguments, which have, inshallah, been answered by the brothers. Brother Muhammad, it was a pleasure. Inshallah, great measure. Inshallah, guys, till next time, do share this video and subscribe. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.